Abstain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Loving the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Only kneel for confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
I will.
You make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Therefore, grant to your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this age, our hearts may ever be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for this fifth Sunday of Easter is from the 8th chapter of Acts, beginning at the 26th verse. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Here ends the first lesson. The epistle lesson is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, beginning at the 18th verse. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." Here ends the epistle lesson.
The Holy Gospel is found in the Evangelist of St. John, the 15th chapter, reading from the first verse. Jesus says,
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here ends the gospel.
We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22 of your hymnal.
I believe in one God, Almighty Father, Maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sit on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is made by the prophets. And I believe. I acknowledge the baptism of the
resurrection of the dead, from my life, the world to come. Amen.
The text is the epistle reading from 1 John chapter 3. Conscience doth makes coward of us all, says Hamlet. Our consciences don't just make us cowards, they condemn us. Therefore, broken consciences need to be fixed, not lived with. Your conscience can be broken in three ways. First, it can be hardened. It doesn't feel guilty when it should. Proverbs speaks of the adulterous woman who thinks she can wipe her conscience clean as easily as she does her mouth. Jeremiah prophesies that in the last days, people will cease to blush. My conscience doesn't bother me. That settles the matter for most people. Society's new morality, psychological explanations of decadent behavior and relative truth has made conscience all but disappear. Luther said it's the nature of all hypocrites and false prophets to cause consciences to disappear. The vanishing conscience plagues our society. 1,500 years ago, Augustine taught that conscience is what places man over animals. So dealing with guilt by eliminating the conscience only succeeds at the cost of making us animals. Your conscience needs to be fixed if you explain your sins away by chemical imbalances, genes, addictions, upbringing, or poverty. Your conscience needs fixing if you give into sin and have no twinges or pangs. If your conscience doesn't bother you when you dishonor your parents, mistreat your spouse, defraud your government, or bear false witness, you have a hardened conscience and it's damning you. You probably already knew that about a hardened conscience is a broken one. But did you know so is a timid one? A timid conscience feels guilty when it should not. Shakespeare described the timid conscience well. My conscience hath a thousand several tongues, and every tongue bring in several tale, and every tale condemns me for a villain. Upton Sinclair declared conscience as memory's tomb breaking open and letting out the ghost of his old life to whip him. Steinbeck spoke of the timid conscience gathering guilt as if it were gold. This fits in well with a proverb of Luther's day. Old guilt, like gold, gathers no rust. Luther himself thought of the timid conscience as a mean little dog named remorse, which bites you all your life without ceasing, even though your sin is forgiven. Even if it is quiet in life, it nevertheless is present at the time of death and barks. Can you feel it nipping? Luther would say all of us can. He said that everyone, if pressed out of their mask, has a human face weeping or covering its eyes over something that happened once. So, what is it with you? What can't your timid conscience believe you're forgiven for? What one thing keeps popping up in your heart? What sin have you confessed over and over again? What sin of yours was not on Jesus' back? Which one do you see staining you even in the flood of Jesus' blood? Your conscience is broken if you're being stabbed by sins you've been absolved for. And it's not being a pious Christian to despair over your sins that you've been absolved for. It's being an unbeliever. A conscience that refuses to believe that God has or can put away its sins damns. A timid conscience feels guilty for sins that are already forgiven. Now that's bad. An evil conscience is worse. It feels guilty for what isn't sin. And then you're in a real predicament. Luther said, if you permit men to make such things to be sins that are not sins, there's no longer any Christ who will be able to take them away. So what can you do if you're hounded by guilt because you don't like the same things your parents do? You made an unwise decision that cost you money. You don't have the same political views as your spouse. Well, all you can do is despair. Jesus died for actual sins, not made up sins. Luther was an expert on the evil conscience. He said that it puts a bad construction on the best things. An evil conscience feels guilty for weather. for illness, for the possibility that it has offended someone. From one real sin, it events countless others. From real sins against parents, an evil conscience spawns guilt over their marital problems. From real sins as parents, it sprouts guilt for our children's sins as adults. Luther said an evil conscience is like a frightened goose, which always flees the wrong way. When a hawk chases her, she tries to fly, though she'd do better to run. And when a wolf attacks, she tries to run, though she could escape by flying. An evil conscience runs away from God when it isn't being chased and thinks it's heading towards heaven by feeling bad for what isn't sinful. And that, in reality, is heading for hell. An evil, timid, or hardened conscience is broken and it can damn, but it can be fixed. First, realize your conscience isn't God. It's not even God's voice in you. This is the teaching of paganism, not Christianity. For the Christian, the voice of God is the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. Christians exalt the Holy Spirit, pagans exalt the conscience. Seneca, in his Ethics, points to the conscience as the living witness and incorruptible judge of all our actions. Rousseau says that the conscience never deceives. The devil says that. The devil tells Eve her conscience can be God. Luther, by contrast, calls conscience an evil beast and wicked devil. Luther said, all that our natural conscience can do is mistake that which is sin for that which is no sin, and that which is no sin for that which is sin. This view of conscience is what led Luther to say, sin boldly. This is a call to fight the old conscience, to cast off its suffocating yoke. Luther said it this way, sometimes we've got to drink a bit more freely, play around, indulge, and even sin a little to spite the devil, so that we may leave him no place for troubling our conscience with trifles. This, of course, is advice for timid and evil consciences, not for hardened ones. But even with hardened consciences, the goal is to dethrone it. Your conscience, evil, timid, or hardened, is not God. The hardened conscience thinks it's infallible like God. It can't be mistaken. If it doesn't feel bad about something, well, then that can't be a sin. The timid or evil conscience thinks it's all-knowing like God. So if the timid conscience doesn't feel forgiven, well, it's not. But John says literally, whenever our hearts know things against us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. John says boldly, God is greater than your heart. Just because your heart condemns you doesn't mean God does. And just because your heart doesn't condemn you doesn't mean God doesn't. God's voice, his word, is to be paid attention to, not your conscience voice. If God's word condemns your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your lifestyle, then you are condemned, regardless of what your conscience tells you. Our fallen conscience is hopelessly snarled like a backlash on a fishing reel. It's a tangled mess of real sins, false guilt, and convoluted reasoning. The key to fixing a broken conscience is not to get caught up in the tangle. We pray in the collect that our hearts might be fixed. I know it's a different meaning of the word. Might be fixed where true joys are to be found. True joys are not to be found in the knotted verdicts, conflicting reasoning, and distorted pangs of conscience. True joys are to be found in the God who knows everything. God knows all your sins, the ones nobody else knows, and even the ones you don't know yourself. He also knows that he personally loaded all of your sins one by one on Jesus' back. He knows Jesus went to the cross and fully paid for those sins. And he knows that he raised Jesus from the dead on Easter because that debt was paid off. So God knows whether you do or not, that your guilts are gone. But your heart still comes down on you, doesn't it? It has a lifetime of sinning to assault you with. Years after being absolved of some sin, your conscience stabs you as if it were never forgiven. And then, of course, there's your daily sins to stab you with. Doubts rise in your heart because you're still such a sinner. Based on what you know, well, you should be condemned. But God knows everything. Fix your hearts on him, not on you. On what he knows, not on what you know. God can divide between your believing self and your unbelieving nature. God can distinguish between your monstrous sinful flesh scratching and kicking against all things holy and that little believing new man he created in you. All you know on some days is your sinful flesh. On those days, your timid conscience is miserable or your evil one despairs. Focus on what God knows on those days. Even on your worst days, he knows that little part of you which clings to what Jesus did for you and struggles against sin and despair. Is that enough? No. You need something to clean your conscience. Actually, what you need is a new conscience. And that's what God gives. God doesn't clean up your conscience any more than he cleans up the sinful flesh. God doesn't reform the sinful flesh. He kills it. And he creates a totally new creation, says St. Paul. God doesn't leave an old conscience in a new creation. He gives a new one. Where does he give new consciences? In baptism. By the water sprinkled on your head in the name of the triune God, God gave you a new, clear conscience. You were given in baptism what no therapy, no drug, no program, no technology, no education could ever give you. The answer of a good conscience towards God. That's what 1 Peter 3:21 says. Water fixes a broken conscience? In baptism, you don't debate with God about what is or isn't sin. God just plunges all of you, the entire sinful mess under water is red with the blood of Christ. He drowns the old sinful flesh, the old conscience, and he gives you a new, clear conscience. Use it. When your conscience troubles you, dive into your baptism and hear what God says. In baptism, I drown your sinful flesh and therefore your old conscience. In baptism, I raise you to a new life, one just like Jesus, free of all sin and guilt. Daily in your baptismal water, see all your sins floating there and see at the bottom of the font your old conscience drowned to death. See a new man emerging and arising as holy and guilt-free as Jesus coming out of the Easter tomb. Bring broken consciences back to baptism to be fixed by water. Hardened, timid, evil ones are drowned. Hardened ones cannot excuse real sins. Timid ones can't accuse with absolved sins. And evil ones can't accuse with what isn't sin. The old conscience can neither accuse nor excuse. It's dead. It can be ignored. God is much greater than it. And standing in the waters of your baptism, so are you. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
In our general prayer, we're particularly remembering the people listening in your bulletin, and in particularly remember Ike Johnson is a former member of Trinity. He's hospitalized with a serious case of COVID. Let us pray. Grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislator of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authorities. Bestow on them grace to rule after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing lawbreakers, so we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish, or peril of death, especially those who are suffering for thy name and truth. Comfort them with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and recognize their afflictions as being according to thy fatherly will. Lord, in thy mercy. And that as thy mercies are new every morning, and evermore ready to give than we are to receive, so we are bold to ask thee to give us hearts fixed on thy Son and his abundant grace. Lord, in thy mercy. And as thou didst show thyself in the person of Christ to not only be the great physician of souls, but of bodies too, so we are bold to pray on behalf of Ike. Deliver him as thou will, attend to him as thou hast promised. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Passover Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death has destroyed death, by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it. This cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The grace of our Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. The grace of our Jesus Christ be with you. Take heed to the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving us death for all our sins. Take heed to the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving us death for all our sins. Take heed to the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving us death for all your sins. Take heed to the body of Christ, giving for your sins.
A drink that's the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. A drink that's the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. A drink that's the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. A drink that's the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink, it's the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. The blood of Christ, shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Grace of Jesus Christ for the human and also for you. Take each of your body, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to death for all your sins. Take each of your body, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to death for all your sins. Take each of your body, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to death for all your sins. The body of Christ is for your sins.
Take drink. This is the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. The true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the true blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, unto life everlasting, depart in peace.
Amen.
Christ be with you, and also with you. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving us death for all your sins. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving us death for all your sins. Take heed, this is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving us death for all your sins. The body of Christ given for your sins.
Take drink, this is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ shed the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed the remission of all your sins. Blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed the remission of all your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
He is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. We beseech thee of thy mercy, thou would strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you. May shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee, will lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. called the first Sunday liturgy because Kristen, the organist, took sick, and Bart, organist too, he stepped right in. He didn't change any of the hymns, and with no notice at all, Saturday morning, he did it, and we are very appreciative of it. VCS planning meeting 2 after service in the library. Elders Tuesday at 6:30. We had a great big, is it a faux pas? Mother's Day carnation emergency. We forgot to put out the sign up sheet. So go and sign up, and it's out there, and we will have carnations. And if we have leftovers, you can even buy them next Sunday. Pentecost party dinner is May 23rd. There's details in the bulletin. May 23rd. And sign up, please, if you'll be there. Thank you.